Shun presumed that to die, his disciples began preparing a grand funeral. But Chen Tzu said, I shall have heaven and earth for my coffin. The sun and moon will be jade symbols hanging by my side. Planets and constellations will shine as jewels all around me, and all beings will be present as mourners at the wake. What more is needed? Everything is anti-human chaos. The disciples said, we fear that the crows and kites will eat our master. Chen Tzu replied, well, above ground I should be eaten by kites and by crows, and below ground by ants and worms. In either case I should be eaten, so why are you favoring the birds?
Mind makes everything a problem. Otherwise, life is simple, death is simple. There is not a problem at all. But mind gives the deception that every moment is a problem and has to be solved. Once you take the first step of believing that everything is a problem, then nothing can be solved. Because the first step is absolutely wrong. Mind cannot give you any solution. It is the mechanism which gives you problems. Even if you think you have solved a problem, thousands new problems will arise out of the solution. This is what philosophy has been doing continuously. Philosophy is the business of the mind. The moment mind looks at anything, it looks with a question mark. It looks with the eyes of doubt. Very simple is life, and very simple is death. But if you can see without the mind, then once you bring the mind in, then everything is complex. Then everything is riddled. Then everything is confusion. And mind tries to solve the confusion, when really it is the source of all confusions. So more confusion is created. It is as if a small stream in the hills is flowing. Some carts have passed, and the stream is muddy. And you jump into the stream to clean it, you will make it more muddy. It is better to wait on the bank. It is better to let the stream itself become tranquil again, to calm down, so that leaves are gone, the mud has settled, and the stream is again crystal clear. Your help is not needed. You will confuse it more. So if you feel there is a problem, please don't poke your nose in it. Sit by the side. Don't allow the mind to get involved. Tell the mind to wait. And it is very difficult for the mind to wait. It is impatience incarnate. If you say to the mind to wait, meditation happens. If you can persuade the mind to wait, you will be in prayer. Because waiting means no thinking. Just sitting on the bench. Not doing anything with the stream. Because what you can do And whatsoever you do will make it more muddy. Your very entering into the stream will create more problems. So wait. All meditation is waiting. All prayer is infinite patience. The whole of religion consists in not allowing the mind to create more problems for you. Everything, simple things which even animals enjoy, which even trees enjoy, men cannot enjoy. Because immediately it becomes a problem, and how can you enjoy a problem? You fall in love, and the mind immediately says, what love is? Whether this is love or sex, whether this is true or false, and where are you going? Whether love can be eternal or is just momentary. First decide everything, then take the step. And with mind there is never any decision. It remains indecisive. Indecisiveness is its inherent nature. Don't take the jump. And when mind says you these things, it seems very clever. It seems very intelligent. Because you may go wrong. So don't take the jump. Don't move. Remain static. But life is movement. And life is trust. Love happens, one has to move into it. Where it leads is not the point. The goal is not the point. The very movement of your consciousness in love is a revelation. The other is not the point. The beloved or the lover is not the point. The point is that you could love. That it could happen to you. That you are being opened in trust, without any doubt, without any question. This very opening is a fulfillment. But the mind will say, wait, let me think and decide. One should not take any step in haste. Then you can wait and wait. That's how you have been missing life. Every moment life knocks at your door. But you are thinking. You say to life, wait, I will open the door, but let me first decide. It never happens. The whole life will come and go. And you will be simply dragging, neither alive nor dead. Both are good, because death has a life of its own. So remember, the first thing, that don't allow the mind to interfere. Then you can be like trees, even more greener. Then you can be like the words on wing. And no word can reach to heights which you can touch. Then you can be like fishes, which go to the very bottom of the sea. You can go to the very bottom of the ocean. Nothing is comparable to you. Human consciousness is the most evolved phenomenon. But you are missing. Even lesser evolved states are enjoying more. A bird is a bird. A very less evolved being than you. A tree is almost not evolved at all. but enjoying more, flowering more. More fulfillment is happening all around. Why you are missing? Your mind has become a burden. You have not been using it. Rather, on the contrary, you are being used by it. Don't allow the mind to interfere with your life. Then there will be a flow, an unobstructed you are, then transparent you are. Then each moment is a bliss, because you are not worried about it. One man was advised by his psychoanalyst to go to the hills. He was always complaining and complaining about this and that, asking about this and that, and he was never at ease with anything, never at home. He was advised to go for a rest. Next day came a telegram. In the telegram, the man has asked, "Here, I am feeling very happy. Why?" Even you cannot accept happiness without asking why. It is impossible for the mind to accept anything. The why immediately is there. And the why destroys everything. Hence so much insistence of our religions for faith. This is the meaning of faith, not allowing the mind to ask the why. Faith is not belief. It is not believing in a certain theory. Faith is believing in life itself. Faith is not believing in the Bible or the Quran or the Gita. Faith is not belief. Faith is a trust, a non-doubting trust. And only those who are faithful, those who are capable of trust, will be able to know what life is and to know what death is. For us, life is a problem, then death is bound to be a problem. We are constantly trying to solve it and wasting time and energy in solving it. It is already solved. It has never been a problem. It is you who are creating the problem. Look at the stars, there is no problem. Look at the trees, there is no problem. Look all around, if man is not there, everything is already solved. Where is the problem? The trees never ask who created the world. They simply enjoy it. What foolishness, who created the world? And what difference does it make? Who created the world? A, B, C, D. What difference does it make? And whether it was created or it is uncreated, what difference does it make? How it will affect you? If A created the world, or B created the world, or nobody created the world, you will remain the same, the life will remain the same. So why ask an unnecessary, irrelevant question and get entangled in it? The rivers go on flowing, never asking where they are going. They reach to the sea. If they start asking, they may not. Their energy may be lost in the way. They may become so much afraid. Where they are going? What is the goal? What is the purpose? They may become so much obsessed with the problem, they may go mad. But they go on flowing, unworried where they are going. And they always reach to the sea. When trees can do this miracle, why? Why you cannot do it? This is the whole of John Dasein's philosophy, his whole way of life, that when everything is happening, why you are worried? Allow it to happen. When rivers can reach, men will reach. When trees reach, men will reach. When this whole existence is moving, you are part of it. Don't become a whirlpool of thinking. Otherwise you go round and round, round and round, then the flow is lost. Then there is no oceanic experience in the end. Life is a riddle because you look through the mind. Life is a mystery if you look through the no mind. Life is already death if you look through the mind. And life never dies if you look through the no mind. Mind cannot feel the alive. Mind can only touch the dead, the material. Life is so subtle and mind is so crude. The instrument is not so subtle as life. And when you touch with that instrument, it cannot catch the throbs of life. It misses. The throbbing is very subtle, but you are the throbbing. Chuang Tzu is on his deathbed. And when a man like Chuang Tzu is on his deathbed, disciples should be absolutely silent. This moment is not to be missed. Because death is the peak. When Chuang Tzu dies, he dies at the peak. It happens rarely. Consciousness reaches to its absolute fulfillment. The disciples should be silent. They should watch what is happening. They should look deep in Chuang Tzu. They should not interfere with the mind. They should not start asking foolish questions. But the mind always starts asking. They are worried about the funeral. Chuang Tzu is still alive. But the mind is not alive. It is never alive. The mind is always thinking in terms of death. For the disciples, the master is already dead. They are thinking about the funeral, what to do, what not to do. They are creating a problem which doesn't exist at all because Chuang Tzu is still alive. I have heard three old men were sitting in a park discussing the inevitable, the death. One old man, 73, he said, when I die, I would like to be buried with Abraham Lincoln, the greatest man, loved by all. The other said, I would like to be buried with Albert Einstein, the greatest scientist, humanitarian, philosopher, lover of peace. Then they both looked at the third, who was 93. He said, I would like to be buried with Sophia Loren. The both felt annoyed, angry, and they said, but she is still alive. That old man said, so am I. This old man must have been something rare. 93. Said, so am I. Why life should be worried about death? One life should think about death. When you are alive, where is the problem? But the mind creates the problem. Then you get puzzled. Socrates was dying. The same happened as it happened with Jonathan. The disciples were worried for the funeral. And they asked what we should do. Socrates is reported to have said that my enemies are giving me poison to kill me, and you are planning how to bury me. So who is my friend and who is my enemy? You both are concerned with my death. Nobody seems to be concerned with my life. Mind is somehow death obsessed. The disciples of Jesus were thinking what to do. The master is dying. And a great phenomenon was happening right now. There, a Buddha, a Chantasu, reaching the ultimate peak that rarely happens in millions of years, once or twice. The flame was burning. His life had come to a point of absolute purity. Where it is divine, it is not human. Where it is total, not partial. Where the beginning and the end meet. Where all the secrets are open and all the doors are open. Where everything is unlocked. The whole mystery was there. And the disciples thinking of the funeral. Blind. Absolutely blind. Not seeing what is happening. Their eyes are closed. But why it happens? And these disciples, can you think that they had known Chantasu? How they can know? Because they are missing in Chantasu in his supreme glory. They are missing him. How can we believe that they didn't miss him when he was working with them, working on them, moving with them, digging a hole in the garden, planting a seed, talking to them, just being present with them? How can we think that they would have known who this Chantasu is when the total glory is missed? It is impossible to think that they had not missed him always. They must have missed. When he was talking, then they must have been thinking what he is talking, what he means. Meaning is not to be discovered by you when an enlightened person speaks. It is there. You have simply to listen to it. It is not to be discovered. It is not hidden. It is nothing to be interpreted. He is not talking in theories. He is giving you simple facts. If your eyes are open, you will see them. If your ears can hear, you will hear them. Nothing more is needed. That's why Jesus goes on saying again and again, if you can hear, hear me. If you can see, see. Nothing more is expected. Just open eyes, open ears. Because a Buddha, a Chantasu, or Jesus are not philosophers like Hegel, Kant. If you read Hegel, the meaning has to be discovered. It is very arduous. As if Hegel is making every effort to make it more and more difficult. Weaving words around words. making everything riddle-like. So when you are first encountered, he will look superb, very high peak. But the more you penetrate and the more you understand, he becomes a lesser and lesser man. The day you understand, he is just useless. Because the whole trick is that you cannot understand him, that's why you feel he is very great. Because you cannot understand, your mind is baffled. Because you cannot understand, your mind cannot comprehend. The thing seems to be very mysterious, incomprehensible. It is not. It is only verbal. He is trying to hide. He is not saying something, rather he is trying to say many words without any fact there. So persons like Hegel are immediately appreciated. As time passes, their appreciation disappears. Persons like Buddha are not immediately appreciated. As time passes, you appreciate them more. They are always before their time. Centuries pass, and then their greatness starts merging. Then their greatness starts appearing, emerging. Then you can feel. Because their truth is so simple, there is no garbage, there is no rubbish around it. It is so factual, you can miss if you think about it. Listening to a chantasu, just listen, nothing else is needed on your part, just a passive receptivity is needed, a welcome. Everything is clear. You can make it a mess, and then you can get confused in your own creation. These disciples must have missed John Thess. They are missing him again. They are worried about what is going to be done. And this point has to be understood. A man of wisdom is always concerned with the being, and a man of ignorance is always concerned with the questions of doing, what is to be done. Being is not a question to him. Chuang Tzu is concerned with being. Disciples are concerned with doing. If death is coming, then what is to be done? What should we do? The master is going to die. So what about the funeral? We must plan it. We are mad after planning. We plan life, we plan death. And through planning, the spontaneity is destroyed. The beauty is destroyed. The whole ecstasy is destroyed. I have heard one atheist died. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in heaven or hell. But still he thought it is better before dying to get rightly dressed. He didn't know where he is going, because he didn't believe in anything. But still somewhere he is going, so before going one must get dressed properly. He was a man of manners, etiquette, so he was dressed in the right dress for the evening, the tie, everything. And then he died. The rabbi was called to bless. The rabbi said, but this man never believed. But look how he has planned. He does not believe. Nowhere to go, and how beautifully dressed and ready. Even if you feel that you are not going anywhere, you plummet. Because the mind always wants to play with the future. It is very happy planning for the future. It is very unhappy living in the present. But planning for the future is beautiful. Whenever you have time, you start planning for the future. Whether of this world or of that, but the future, and the mind enjoys planning. Planning is just fantasy, dreaming, daydreaming. Persons like Chantas who are concerned with being, not beginning, they are not concerned with doing, they are not concerned with the future. No planning is needed. Existence itself takes its care. Jesus said to his disciples, look at these flowers of lily, so beautiful in their glory that even Solomon was not so beautiful. And they don't plan. And they don't think for the future. And they are not worried for the next moment. Why the lilies are so beautiful? Where their beauty consists? Where it is hidden? Because the lilies exist here and now. Why the human face is so sad and ugly? Because it is never here and now. It is always in the future. It is a ghost-like. How can you be real if you are not here and now? You can only be a ghost. Either visiting past or moving into the future. Chantazu is dying at the moment of Chantazu's death. The disciples should have been silent. That would have been the most respectful thing to do, the most loving thing to do. The master was dying. They never listened to his life. At least they could have listened to his death. They could not be silent while he was talking to them. Through his life. Now he was going to give his last sermon through his death. One should be watchful when a wise man dies, because he dies in a different way. An ignorant man cannot die that way. Because you have your life and you have your death. If you have been foolish in your life, how can you be wise in your death? Because the death is the outcome, the total outcome, the conclusion. In death, your whole life is involved. In death, your whole life is there, in essence. A foolish man dies in a foolish way. Life is unique, death is also unique. Nobody can live your life and nobody can die your death. Only you. It is unique. It never happens again. Styles differ not only in life but in death also. When Chantazu dies, one has to be absolutely silent so that one is not missing, because you can miss. Life is a long affair, 70 years, 80 years, 100. Death is in one moment. It is an atomic phenomenon, concentrated. It is more vital than life. Because life is spread. Life can never be so intense as death can be. And life can never be so beautiful as death can be. Because it is a spread thing. It is always lukewarm. The moment of death, The whole of life has come to a point of boiling. Everything evaporates from this world to the other, from the body to the bodiless. It is the greatest transformation that happens. One should be silent. One should be respectful. One should not be wavering, because it will happen in a single moment and you may have missed it. And the foolish disciple is talking about the funeral and thinking to make a grand thing out of it. And the grandest thing is happening. The greatest thing is happening. But they are thinking of the soul. The mind always thinks of the exhibition. It is exhibitionist. Mullah Nasruddin died. Somebody informed his wife, who was taking her afternoon . Half the cup was finished. The man said, "Your husband is dead. He has come under a bus." But Mullah Nasruddin's wife continued sipping her tea. The man said, "What? You have not even stopped? Do you hear me? Your husband is dead. And you have not even said a single thing." The wife said, "Let me first finish the tea. And boy, will I give a scream." Just wait a little. Mind is exhibitionist. She will give a scream. Just give her a little chance to arrange, plan. I have heard about one actor, his wife died. So he was crying his heart out, tears rolling down his screen. One man said, "I never thought that you loved so much your wife." The actor looked at the man and said, "This is nothing. When my first wife died, you would have seen." This is nothing. Even when you sow your anguish, you are looking at others, what they think about it. Why think of a grand funeral? Why grand? You make exhibition out of death also. Is this really respectful? Our death also is something in the market, a commodity. And our master has died, so there is a competition, and we must prove that he received the greatest funeral. No other master ever received like that, and no other will ever receive again. Even in death you are thinking of the ego, but disciples are like that. They follow, but they never really follow. Because if they had followed Chantasu, then what is the question of a grand funeral? They should have been humble in that moment, but the ego is asserting. Whenever you say that your master is very great, just look within. You are saying, "I am very great, that's why I follow this great man. Because I am a great follower." Every follower claims that his master is the greatest, not because of the master. Because how you can be a great follower if the master is not great? And if somebody says that this is not right, you get annoyed, irritated, you start arguing and fighting. It is a question of the survival of the ego. Everywhere the ego asserts, it is coming and very subtle. Even in death, it will not leave you. Even in death, it will be there. The master is dying and disciples thinking of the funeral. They have not followed the master at all. And a master like Chontas, whose whole teaching consists in being spontaneous, when Chandas was about to die, his disciples began planning a grand funeral. He is not yet dead, and they have started planning. Because the question is not Chandas, the question is the egos of the disciples. They must give something grand, and everybody must come to know that never before such a thing has happened. But Chantasu said, you cannot deceive Chantasu. Even when he is dying, he will not leave you alone. Even when he is dying, he cannot be deceived. Even when he is leaving, he will give you his heart, his wisdom. Even at the last moment, he will share whatsoever he has known and realized. Even at the last moment is going to be a sharing. But Chantasu said, I shall have heaven and earth for my coffin. The sun and moon will be jade symbols hanging by my side. Planets and constellations will shine as jewels all around me, and all beings will be present as mourners at the wake. What more is needed? Everything is simple, simply, amply taken care of. What more is needed? What more can you do? What more can you do for a Chantase, for a Buddha? Whatsoever you do will be nothing. Whatsoever you plan is going to be tribal. It cannot be grand. Because the whole universe is ready to receive them. What more can you do? Chantase said, the sun and the moon and all the beings in earth and heaven are ready to receive. And all the beings, the whole existence will be the mourners. So you need not be worried. And you need not engage mourners. You can engage. Now they are available in the market also. There are people, you can pay them and they can mourn. What type of humanity is coming into being? A wife dies, a mother dies, and nobody there to mourn. You have to engage professional mourners. They are available in Bombay, Calcutta. In big cities they are available. And they do such a good job. You cannot compete with them. Of course they are more efficient. And they have a daily practice. But what ugliness. When you have to pay for it. But the whole thing has become false. Life is false, death is false, happiness is false, even mourning is false. And this has to be, it has a logical meaning to it. If you have never been really happy with a person, how you can be really mournful when he dies? It is impossible. If you have not been happy with your wife, if you have never known any blissful moment with her, when she dies, how authentic tears can come to your eyes? Deep down you will be happy. Deep down you feel that now a freedom. Now I am independent. Now I can move according to my desire. The wife was like an imprisonment. I have heard one man was dying. His wife was consoling him and saying, "You don't worry, sooner or later I will join you." The man said, "But don't be unfaithful to me." He must have been afraid. Why this fear in the last moment? This fear must have been always there. The wife promised, she said, "Never I will be unfaithful to you." And the man said, "If you commit even a single act of unfaith towards me, I will move in my grave. It will be very painful to me." And then after 10 years the wife died at the gate. Saint Peter asked, "To whom you would like to see first?" She said, "Of course, my husband." Saint Peter asked, "What is his name?" So she said, "Abraham." But Saint Peter said, "It is difficult because there are millions of Abrahams. So give me some clue. Which one?" So the wife thought, she said, "At the last moment, he said that if I commit any act of unfaithfulness towards him, he will move in his grave, in his grave." Saint Peter said, "No, no more is needed." "So you mean the twirling Abraham who is constantly twirling in his grave for 10 years? He had not had a single moment of rest. And everybody knows about him, there is no problem. We will call him immediately. No faith, no trust, no love. No happiness has ever happened out of your relationship. When death comes, how you can mourn? Your mourning will be false. Your life is false, your death is going to be false. And don't think that you are alone false. All around you, those who are related with you are false. And we live in such a false world. It is simply amazing how we can continue. One politician was out of work. He was an ex-minister. He was in search, because politicians are always in difficulty when they are not in the office. They cannot do anything else than politics. They don't do anything else than politics. And they don't have any qualifications also. Even a pune is needed, certain qualifications. A minister is not needed. A chief minister, a prime minister is not needed at all. Any qualifications. So this minister was in trouble. So he met a manager of a circus, because he thought that politics is a great circus, and I must have learned a little to be of some use in the circus. So he said, can you find a job for me? Out of work, I am in much trouble. So he said, you have come in the right moment. One of the bears has died, so we will give you a costume. You have not to do anything, you have to just sit in the cage with the bear's costume. Just sit the whole day and nobody is going to find the difference. And you are not required to do anything, just sit from the morning to the evening, so people know that the bear is there. The job looked good, so the politician accepted. He entered the cage, put on his costume, sit. He was sitting there just 15 minutes afterwards. Another bear was soaked in, so he panicked. He ran to the bars, started shaking them and crying, help, let me out of here. Then suddenly he heard a voice. The other bear was speaking. He said, do you think you are the only politician out of work? I am also an ex-minister. Don't be so much afraid. The whole life has become false. Root and art. And how you adjust in it, it is sheer miracle. Talking with a false face, talking to a false face, happiness false, misery false. And then you hope to find the truth. With false faces, the truth can never be found. One has to realize his own true face and drop all the false masks. Said Chuang Tzu, I shall have heaven and earth for my coffin. Why are you worried? And how can you manage a greater coffin than that? Let heaven be, the earth be my coffin, and they will be. The sun and moon will be jade symbols hanging by my side. So you need not burn candles around me. They will be momentary. And sooner or later, they will not be there. Let sun and moon be the symbols of light around me. And they are. Planets and constellations will shine as jewels all around me, and all beings will be present. This is something to be understood. All beings will be present. It is said of Buddha and Mahavir. Nobody believes it, because it is impossible to believe. Even Jains read it, believe, Buddhists believe, read it. But the suspicion comes in the mind. It is said when Mahavir died, then all the beings were present there. Not only human beings, animals, the souls of the trees, angels, deities, all the beings from all the dimensions of existence were present there. And this should be so. Because a Mahavir is not only revealed to you. The glory is such, the height is such, that all the dimensions of existence become acquainted with him. It is said when Mahavir will speak, then angels, deities, animals, ghosts, all types of beings will be there to listen to him. Not only human beings. It looks a story, a parable, but I tell you this is the truth. Because higher you reach, higher your being grows, other dimensions of existence become available. When one reaches to the highest point, the point of Arihanta, Jains call it, the point of Arhat, Buddhists call it, the point of the perfect Tao, the man of Tao, Chantazu calls it, then the whole existence listens. Says Chantazu, and all the beings will be present as mourners at the wake. What more is needed and what more you can do? What more you can add to it? You need not do anything and you need not be worried. Everything is amply taken care of. This is the feeling of one who becomes silent. Everything is amply taken care of. Life and death, everything. You need not do anything. Everything is already happening without you. You unnecessarily come into it and you create confusion, you create chaos. Without you, everything is perfect. As it is perfect. This is the attitude of a religious man. As it is, everything is perfect. Nothing more can be done to it. In the West, Leibniz is reported to have said that this is the most perfect world. He has been criticized because in the West you cannot assert such things. How this world is the most perfect world? This seems to be the most imperfect. The most ugly, ill, inequality is there, suffering is there, poverty is there, illness, death, hatred, everything is there. And this Leibniz says that this is the most perfect world. Leibniz has been criticized severely. But Chantazu would have understood what he means. I understand what he means. When Leibniz says this is the most perfect world, he is not making any comment on the political situation or the economic situation. He is not making any comment on equality, inequality, socialism, communism, wars. He is not making any comment on it. The comment is not objective. The comment is not concerned with the without. The comment is concerned with the inner feeling. It comes from the very being. Everything is perfect means there is no need to worry. Everything is amply taken care of. And you cannot make it better. You cannot make it better. If you try, you may make it worse. But you cannot make it better. This is very difficult for the scientific mind to understand that you cannot make it better. Because the scientific mind depends on this idea that things can become better. But what you have done for 200 years since Aristotle, in the West we have been trying to make the world better. Has it become better in any way? Is man even a little more happier? Is man even a little more blissful? Not at all. Things have become worse. The more we have been treating the patient, the more he is falling into death. Nothing has been helpful. Man is not happier at all. We may be having more things to be happy with, but the heart is last which can be happy. You may be having palaces, but the man who can be an emperor is no more there. So palaces become graves, Your cities are more beautiful, more rich, wealthy, but just like graveyard. No living person lives there. We have done a mistake of trying to make the world better. It is not better. It may be worse. Look back. Man was totally different. Poorer, but richer. Looks paradoxical. He was poorer. Food was not enough. Clothes were not enough. There was no enough shelter. But life was richer. He could dance. He could sing. Your song is lost. Your throat is choked by things. No song can come out of the heart. You cannot dance. At the most, you can make some movements. But those movements are not dance. Because dancing is not just a movement. When a movement becomes ecstatic, then it is dance. When the movement is so total that there is no ego, then it is a dance. And you must know that dancing came into the world as a technique of meditation. The beginning of dancing was not for dance, it was to achieve ecstasy. The dancer is lost. Only the dance remains. There is no ego, nobody manipulating. The body flowing is spontaneous. You can dance, but only dead movements. You can manipulate the body. It may be a good exercise, but it is not ecstasy. You still embrace each other. You still kiss. You still make all the movements of love making. But love is not there. Only movements are there. You make them and you feel frustrated. You make them and you know nothing is happening. You do everything and still a constant feeling of frustration follows you like a shadow. When Leibniz says that this is the most perfect world, what he is saying is what Chuang Tzu is saying. Everything is amply taken care of. You need not worry about life. You need not worry about death. The same source who takes care of life will take care of death. You need not think about a grand funeral. The same source who has given me birth will absorb me. And the same source is enough. We need not add anything to it. But the disciples said, they listened, but they couldn't understand. Otherwise there was no need to say anything anymore. But the disciples still said, we fear that the crows and kites will eat our master. If we don't make any preparation, if we don't plan, then crows and kites will eat our master. Chuang Tzu replied, well, above ground I shall be eaten by crows and kites, and below ground by ants and worms. In either case I shall be eaten. So why are you favoring the words? So why make any choice? I have to be eaten anyhow. So why make a choice? Chuang Tzu says, live choicelessly and die choicelessly. Why make a choice? You try to manipulate life and then you try to manipulate death also. So people make their wills legal documents, so that not only when they are not, they will manipulate. Dead, but they will manipulate. Manipulation seems to be so enchanting that after death also people go and manipulate. A father dies, he makes conditions in his will that the son will receive only if he fulfills this condition. Or this money will go to a charity fund, but these conditions have to be fulfilled. The dead man dominating is still. There is a hospital in London. The man who made the hospital, he made a will. He was the president of the trust. So he made a will that when I die, my body is not to be discharged. It has to be maintained. And I will continue to sit in the chairman's place. And he still sits whenever the trust meets. His dead body is sitting in the chairman's place. At the head of the table he is sitting. Is still dominating. Your life is a manipulation of others. You would like your death also to be a manipulation. Chantazu says, there is no choice. If you leave my body on the ground, well, it shall be eaten. If you bury it deep down, it shall be eaten. So why be favorable to words or to worms? Let it be as it is going to happen. Let the source decide. Decision gives you ego. I will decide. Let the source decide. Let the ultimate decide whatsoever, howsoever it wants to dispose this body. It was never asked to me how the source has to construct this body. Why should I decide how it has to be disposed? And why fear that it should be eaten? It is good. We are afraid of being eaten. Why? This is something to be understood. Why we are so afraid of being eaten? And the whole life we are eaten. And we are destroying life through eating. Whatsoever you eat, you kill. You have to kill, because life can eat only life. There is no way. So nobody really can be a vegetarian. Nobody. Everybody is a non-vegetarian. Because whatsoever you eat is life. You eat fruits, they are life. You eat vegetables, the vegetable has life. You eat wheat, rice, they are seeds for more life to sprout. Whatsoever you depend, you have to depend on life. Life eats life. And everything is a food for somebody else. So why you protect yourself and try to protect that you should not be eaten? Simple foolishness. You have been eating the whole life, now give it a chance to eat you. Allow life to eat you. That's why I say that the Parsis have the most scientific method of disposing a dead body. Hindus burn it. This is bad. Because you are burning food. If every tree burns the fruit, and every animal dies and other animals burn it, what will happen? They will all be Hindu, but there will be nobody here. Why burn? You have been eating, now allow, give it a chance. Life should eat you. and be happy about it, because food means you are being absorbed. It is nothing wrong. It means the existence has taken back. The river has fallen back into the ocean. And this is the best way to be absorbed, that you are eating. That whatsoever was useful in you is alive somewhere in somebody. Some tree, some bird, some animal will be alive through your life. Be happy. Your life has been distributed. Why take it that something is wrong? Mountains, Christians, they bury their dead into the ground to protect, in caskets, in coffins, to protect. This is bad. This is just foolishness. Because we could not protect life, how can we protect death? We cannot protect anything, nothing can be protected. Life is vulnerable. And you try even to make death invulnerable. You want to protect, to save. Parsis have the best method. They simply leave the body on the world. Vultures come, birds come, they eat. Everybody is against Parsis, even Parsis. Because the whole thing looks so ugly. It is not ugly. When you are eating, is it ugly? Then why, when a vulture is eating, he is ugly? When you eat, then it is a dinner. And when the vulture is eating you, then it is also a dinner. You have been eating others, let others eat you. Be absorbed. Swamitasu says there is no choice. Why favor this and that? Let life do whatsoever it chooses to do. I am not going to decide. Really, Swamitasu lived a choiceless life. He is ready to die a choiceless death. And when you are choiceless, only then you are. When you have a choice, the mind is. The mind is the chooser. The being is always choiceless. The mind wants to do something. The being simply allows things to happen. Being is a let go. And then how you can be miserable if you don't choose? How you can be miserable if you don't ask for a particular result? How can you be miserable if you are not moving to a particular goal? Nothing can make you miserable. Your mind asks for goals, for choices, for decisions. Then misery comes in. If you live choicelessly and allow life to happen, then you simply become a field. Life happens in you, but you are not the manager. You don't manage it. You don't control it. When you are not the controller, all tensions dissolve. Only then there is relaxation. Then you are totally relaxed. That relaxation is the ultimate point, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Whether it is life or it is death, you should not take any standpoint. That is the meaning. You should not take any standpoint. You should not say this is right and that is wrong. You should not divide. Let life be an undivided whole. If you divide, then Chomtase has said, an inch division, and heaven and hell are set apart. And then they cannot be bridged. It happened once I knew a young man. He used to come to me, and he was always worried about one thing. He wanted to get married, but whatsoever girl he will bring to the home, his mother will not approve. It had become almost impossible. So I told him, you try to find a girl who is almost like your mother. The face, the figure, the way she walks, the clothes. Just find a mirror figure, just the reflection of your mother. He searched and searched, and finally he found a girl. He came to me, he said, you were right. My mother instantly liked her. She is just like my mother. Not only she dresses like my mother, walks, talks, even she cooks like my mother. So I asked, then what happened? He said, nothing, because my father hates her. The polarity. If your one part of the mind loves one thing, you can find immediately another part of the mind hating it. If you choose one thing, just look behind, the other part is hiding there, which hates. Whenever you choose, the world is not divided, you are also divided through your choice. You are not whole. And when you are not whole, you cannot allow life to happen. And all benediction consists in life as a grace, as a gift, not achieved through effort. So don't choose religion against the world. Don't choose goodness against badness. Don't choose grace against sin. Don't try to be a good man against the bad man. Don't make any distinction between the devil and the God. This is what Chuang Tzu says. He says, don't choose between life and death. Don't choose between this type of death and that type of death. Choose not. Remain whole. And whenever you are whole, there is a meeting with the whole. Because the same only meets the same. It is said by mystics for centuries continuously that as above, so below. I would like to add one thing more in it. As within, so without. If you are whole within, the whole without happens to you immediately. If you are divided within, the whole without is divided. It is you, basically, who become the whole universe. You become projected. It is you. And whenever you choose, you will be divided. Choice means division. Choice means conflict. For this against that. Don't choose. Remain a choiceless witness. And then nothing is lacking. Then this existence is the most perfect existence. Nothing can be more dutiful. Nothing can be more blissful. It is there, all around you, waiting for you. Whenever you become aware, it will be revealed to you. But if you go on working inside divisions, conflict, choosing, it will never happen to you. You have been missing it for lives. Don't miss it anymore. Enough for today?